Soundstripe.
Welcome to Mommy Brain Revisited, the neuroscience of parenting. I'm your host, Dr. Jody Paluski.
Today, it's my pleasure to have Dr. Erica Glasper here with us to talk a little bit about fathers' brains and her research in this area. Dr. Glasper is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of Maryland at College Park in the United States. And welcome, Erica.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So I think we've crossed paths for a number of years in the parental brain world.
Yeah.
So maybe you can tell us a little bit about why you're interested in studying dad's brains.
It all started rather, I think, naively as an undergraduate student at Randolph-Macon College. I was taking a course given by Dr. Kelly Lambert, who is one of many who studied the maternal brain. And as a naive undergraduate, I simply raised my hand after she was talking about all the benefits of motherhood to spatial navigation, learning, and memory. And I said, well, what about dad? And she answered, well, we don't know much. And I didn't feel as if the answer was satisfying. And so after class, we chatted, and she said, if you're interested in doing research on this, you should join my lab. And that was back in 1999, and I've been asking these questions of what happens to the dad's brain after he becomes a dad since then. I just wanted to help fill the gap, or really to know if moms and dads' brains differed in any way after the birth and or interactions with offspring.
I think that's a super great question. And I think we forget about the roles of dads or other primary caregivers. And it's super fascinating to think about how their brains can change.
Well, you know, we don't think about it because there aren't that many models, right? Very few mammalian species, including ourselves as humans, have biparental care, where both the mom and the dad engage in caring for the child or the offspring. And so because our models are so limited, it's really hard for us to ask those crucial questions.
Yeah, definitely. And then, I mean, in terms of imaging humans, we know that there's imaging studies that are going on, not as many in dads, and even not very many in moms. But those are valuable to understand the human brain, but we really do need these models to understand really the intricacies and the communication within the brain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's very true. It makes it a bit more challenging to figure out what exactly is going on in dad's brains when most animals have moms as primary caregivers.
Right.
Can you just maybe give us kind of a general idea of what goes on in dad's brains?
Interestingly enough, the dad's brain and the mom's brain respond very similarly to offspring. So there is activation of a number of brain regions in response to offspring calls or cries if you're human. Dads are able to attend to offspring the same way. My research is really interested in looking at how these offspring are really shaping key regions of the brain following their birth, and how they're shaping the dad's brain in a way where it's making the dads better dads or not. And that's a question that I had. Is the architecture of the brain changing over time in response to the male becoming a dad and then engaging in different types of care with his offspring? These are the same things that are happening in the mom's brain. So I take a little bit of joy in kind of dispelling the myth that, you know, mom is benefiting from these interactions with her child or offspring while the dad is kind of, take it or leave it. The dad really is engaged and he's benefiting from these interactions as well. And I can talk specifically about what some of those changes to his brain and behavior are if you'd like.
Yeah, I think that would be great. But before we get into that, I guess for me, because we know that there's some research showing that fathers' brains don't change the same way as mothers' brains in humans. Yes. But then I think, and this is probably what you're going to talk about, it all depends on the amount of the interaction to a large extent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really important to look at the timing. I mean, if we think about humans, if, you know, mom is the primary caregiver, early on, and if she chooses to breastfeed her child, you know, a lot of that one-on-one interaction with the child is going to be given by or provided by the mother. And so the dad, if he's not participating in feeding in any type of way, it's going to have limited interaction. And so you might expect that lack of interaction with the child may not shape his brain the same way that the bond is developing between the mom and the child during lactation. We see that a similar pattern of change in some animal models that engage in paternal care.
So then tell us more about your research.
Yes. So I have been studying a unique biparental rodent species since 1999, and it is the Paramiscus californicus. Its common name is the California mouse. They're found in the chaparrals of California. Very cute little brown mouse, big ears, big eyes, just adorable. At least I think so. What's unique about them is that mom and dad form these lifelong bonds with each other, but they also form very strong bonds with the offspring. So much so that and what I've seen in my research is that the dad actually can respond both behaviorally, and you can see changes in the structure or the architecture of some cells, some neurons within the brain, if you take that offspring away, if you remove the dad from being able to care for and rear its offspring. And so they're a very unique but appropriate animal model to study how fatherhood may change the brain.
Okay. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about the area or areas of the brain that you're interested in these fathers.
Sure. So I have a love for a particular area of the brain known as the hippocampus.
That's my favorite too.
It's so hard not to love it, right? So the hippocampus is a beautiful area of the brain for a number of reasons. One, the way it's architecturally laid out in the different types of cells that can be found in various regions. I look at the plasticity of existing neurons within the hippocampus in a region-specific way. So different types of neurons and different types of regions within the hippocampus. But I also study the birth and the survival of new neurons within the hippocampus. And what my research has shown is that both types of structural plasticity, changes in existing architecture, and the birth of new cells is altered by fatherhood experience.
Okay, so maybe before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about why the hippocampus? I mean, besides its beautiful architecture, but functionally in parenting.
Yes, of course. So when we think about parenting, we think that the parent needs to be able to attend to its offspring. So maybe the parent needs to be a little smarter. Maybe the parent needs to parenting is very stressful and rewarding at the same time. So the parent needs to have some stress regulation, as well as the parent needs to be able to kind of regulate some emotions that may be out of whack following the birth of offspring. Hippocampus plays a role in all three of those. It plays a role in learning and memory, anxiety, regulation, and also kind of helping to regulate stress reactivity. So because it plays a key role in those three things, learning and memory, anxiety regulation or emotional regulation, and stress reactivity are all altered in some way following parenting and fatherhood and motherhood in particular, it was a key place for me to start asking some of these questions as to how paternal or a fatherhood experience can shape the brain.
I think that's, I mean, it is such an interesting area. And I think another reason, and you mentioned this already, but the hippocampus also shows a lot of plasticity in adulthood. So yes. It's one of those very changing areas in the brain, which makes it interesting for investigation because it is so plastic. So I guess maybe we can talk about what are really your main questions then with regards to the hippocampus and fatherhood?
Yes. So, one of the first things that I wanted to know was simply did the father's brain change in its production of new neurons or adult neurogenesis? No one had asked that question. And I thought, it was a good place to start because we knew based off some of your work, Jody, and others, like Benedetta Luner at Ohio State, that the mom's brain actually did show changes in the production and survival of new neurons, adult neurogenesis, following the offspring, and that a lot of that was linked to lactation, right, or being able to nurse the offspring. Well, dads don't lactate. They don't get pregnant. They don't undergo childbirth. And so what could be some of the mechanisms that, if there are any, that are changing the dad's brain in response to offspring? And off the bat, we saw that there was an inhibition or a reduction in the birth of newborns or the survival of newborn cells, adult neurogenesis, in the hippocampus. And that kind of made me go, well, this is sad. What are we saying here? That there is, an inhibition in plasticity following offspring care in this California mouse. But my research went on further to look at how the dad's brain changes in adult neurogenesis over time. And we talked a few minutes ago about the interaction and how much time the dad spends with the offspring, engaging in contact, how that is really important. And so what we showed was in this species where the California mouse dad engages in rough and tumble play with his offspring about 14 to 16 days after it's born, this is when you see a robust increase in adult neurogenesis in dads compared to non-dads or non-fathers. But that these cells will wane off, or there will be less survival of these cells as the offspring get older because the offspring are growing up and they're doing their thing. It would be likening them to going off to college with humans. They're leaving the nest. And so the dad is less important later on in life. But we also show that there was a trade-off in the type of plasticity that was happening in the hippocampus of these dads. So while there may be an inhibition or a reduction in the survival of newborn cells, those pre-existing neurons, the neurons that have fully incorporated or integrated themselves into the hippocampal circuitry, those actually were liken it to being an enhanced neuron. Those neurons were fuller. The tree or the dendritic branching that came off of these cell bodies was fuller, longer, and potentially making more connections to other neurons within the hippocampus and then extending outside of this beautiful brain region. So while the dad might not be putting a lot of resources into producing new cells, engaging in paternal care is helping the dad to strengthen his existing connections within the brain, likely making him a much better father, if you will.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, I think this is a theme we see often in parental brain research, that there seems to be a decrease of something, a decrease of volume, a decrease of activation, a decrease. But in fact, I like to think of it as a fine-tuning of what's already there. And I think this is what you've described in these dad's brains, is that there's fewer new neurons being produced in the hippocampus, but the ones that are there are actually being used more, or perhaps more efficiently being integrated into circuitry.
That's right. I mean, you think about it this way. Why invest so much energy or resources into producing something that's not going to help you for 4 to 6 to 8 weeks later, right? This dad, this California mouse dad, needs to be a better dad now. He can't wait. If he waits 4 to 6 weeks, his pups have grown up and they've left the nest. So it makes complete sense to me to shuttle resources to existing neurons and make those stronger so that those can help function immediately.
Yes, definitely. So I guess this brings me to the question of, what about if the dad is active during the pregnancy? Have you looked at the dad's brains at all?
No, so we haven't. We haven't looked to see what is happening to dad before his pups are born. But we know that there are many changes hormonally. Not my research, the research of others have shown that, you know, dad is preparing for offspring arrival, even in a way where he's, you know, not making himself, but his hormones are fluctuating in a way that he may be making himself less different than mom. So, you know, having a reduction in testosterone, and this reduction in testosterone can be helping to prepare him and his brain for the arrival of the pup. That is something that I am interested in, and, you know, what may be happening to his brain in anticipation for the pup.
Yeah, I'm always curious about pregnancy effects on the brain in females or in mothers, but also in dads, especially if they've been active during that pregnancy or been close to the mom during that time. I think there's just so much we have yet to learn about the parental brain in moms and dads.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's so many questions we have. So I also have another question. As you were talking, you talked about dads playing with their offspring in this California mouse model, but we obviously know that dads often engage in play behavior, human dads, with their children. So during that play period, that intensive play period, you saw an increase in the new cells in the dad's brains?
Yes. So that is when you can think of it as a triangle, if you will, and the peak of the triangle or the apex. That was when we saw the highest survival of newborn cells in the dad's brain, as compared to a couple of days after the pups were born and right when the pups were leaving the nest. And in California mouse, this is about a week window where the dad is really engaging in this rough and tumble play. He's retrieving the pups back to the nest because now they're ambulatory. They're able to thermoregulate. They're able to regulate their body temperature. And so they don't really need to stay tucked up under mom. But they, you know, can't really make it back to the nest on their own. So dad is bringing them back to the nest, and all of that interaction with the pups is helping, is promoting the survival of these newborn neurons in the hippocampus.
Okay, that's super interesting. And it goes along with the idea, I guess, I would have is the more you interact with your child, perhaps the more brain changes you would see.
Absolutely.
Especially in those brain areas really important for aspects of parenting.
Right, because what we've seen in our research, in my lab, is that it's not just being the dad. So not just siring a litter or, impregnating the female is enough to significantly change the dad's brain, because we've allowed the dad to impregnate the female, be there throughout the pregnancy, help with the delivery. In this species, they actually help with the delivery of their offspring. They share in the eating of the placenta. And then one day after birth, we take that away. Cruel. But it was getting to answering the question, is fatherhood enough? And we looked at what happened when we took dad away, what happened to his brain, and amongst a number of other things. And we didn't see enhancements in any type of plasticity within the hippocampus. In fact, in some areas of the hippocampus, we saw a reduction in the structural architecture of those existing neurons, similar to what you might see if an individual, a rodent, was stressed or underwent some type of psychological or physical stressor. So it's not simply being a dad that is going to have these wonderful growth-enhancing properties in the brain. It's that interaction with the offspring that's helping to shape the dad's brain in a positive direction.
So this is fascinating, and I think moms have to remember this, that it's really important for partners to participate in the parenting, because I think sometimes we as mothers don't share the responsibility, but it's also healthy for our partners' brains. So I like this idea very much.
Absolutely. One of my colleagues at Maryland often reminds me that, it's either you can have three things, no dad there, a really engaged dad, or a really unengaged or crappy dad. And, the unengaged or crappy dad isn't going to, that interaction isn't going to benefit him, nor will it benefit the offspring or the mom. So you have to think about the quality of the care that the dad is providing. You speak to that, and then how that might shape the behavior and or the brain.
Definitely. And I guess this doesn't just pertain to dads. It would pertain to another primary caregiver or partner, except for, do we know much about other caregivers?
In terms of
brain changes. So do we know about how, non-biological parents' brains might change, or primary caregivers' brains might change when they're taking care of offspring or children?
Yes, there is research to show that a non-biological parent, the caregiver, will benefit from these interactions with the offspring.
Okay. So then I guess my question would be, if we're thinking of mechanisms, what would be some reasons for these brain changes, or how would the interaction with the offspring change the brain or the hippocampus
right, in
this case?
That was something that my lab was very interested in, what might be promoting these changes. And so we took a survey approach to try to use all of the wonderful literature that the maternal brain investigators have discovered, where, it may be related to oxytocin, it may be related to estradiol, is it testosterone, what might be supporting the birth and survival of these newborn cells. And what we found in the male was quite interesting, is that while there were these changes over time in circulating hormones that estradiol or estrogen-dependent mechanism may be at work. And so when we delivered a selective estrogen receptor modulator, and the drug tamoxifen, when we administered that to the father's brain at a time where these newborn cells might be laying a foundation, if you will, and we blocked this foundation or the incorporation of these new cells into the pre-existing neuronal circuitry, we prevented this enhancement in adult neurogenesis or the birth of new cells. We did not see that in non-fathers. So non-fathers didn't respond to this estrogen-dependent mechanism the way that the dads did, suggesting to us that maybe estrogen or the regulation of estrogen might be playing a role in this enhancement in adult neurogenesis that we observed following paternal care in the California map.
Interesting. So, I mean, as we often think of estrogens or estradiol as female hormones, but of course we know that they're readily evident, particularly throughout males in their brain as well. So yes. Estradiol comes from testosterone.
That's
if
right.
I remember correctly.
So yes, it's aromatized. That's right.
I should know because my husband loves aromatase. And he does research on it, or he used to do much more. So obviously we don't talk research as much as we should. Or I don't listen to him. I think I've talked about this before. So would it have to do then with a change in testosterone levels in the brain or how they're being converted to estradiol?
So it's possible. It's possible. So we know that a couple of days prior to the birth of offspring in California mouse and in other mammalian species that engage in this biparental care, we see a drop in testosterone. There's a reduction in circulating testosterone. And so if there's less testosterone being readily available, then that may lead to a reduction in the ability for testosterone to be converted or aromatized into estradiol. My lab hasn't done these studies to see whether or not it has a direct relation to the amount or the presence of available testosterone. But it's a plausible hypothesis, Jody, and one that we could readily test.
Interesting. I also have another question because although it's Father's Day this weekend in many parts of the world, it's also next week I read that it's Father's Mental Health Day. And I think this is a growing international day, like we have for moms. And I'm wondering if you can comment on dad's brains and mental illness.
Yeah. Our work also looked at, what happens if dad can't, or we prevent him from engaging in those interactions, those beneficial interactions with his offspring. Well, that results in an increase in anxiety and an increase in these passive, these stress coping behaviors. You kind of can liken it to depression. So an increase in depressive-like behavior. And so, just like, postpartum mental illness that occurs in the mom, that is observed and can be observed in dads. I think it's really important for us to pay closer attention to dads during that postpartum period. It's a big change for them as well. It might not be directly tied to changes in hormones as a result of parturition or birth, but it's a huge moment in their lives that can lead to some emotional dysregulation. And so, my work would suggest that maybe leaning in a little bit more and engaging in more interaction with the offspring may help to mitigate that those dysregulations in emotions, but at the very least, it allows us a window into their brain to know that, yes, there are these changes in the dads and that they do also, you know, suffer from some mental instability following offspring birth.
Yeah, I think the rates for what postpartum depression or anxiety in dads is 1 in 10 dads, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
that's right.
So it is quite common. And I like that you mentioned that perhaps interacting with the infant could be beneficial, because we do know, and often it's recommended that moms spend time interacting or skin to skin, and that can often regulate and be a calming type of interaction when you're struggling with anxiety or even with depression. So it's interesting that this could also be important for dads as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess my next question would be, what's next for your research program in this area?
So we are starting, I shouldn't say we're starting to have a little fun, but we are. We're starting to try to understand at the molecular level what may be happening within the hippocampus and other key areas of the brain, areas that are involved in executive functioning, like the prefrontal cortex, or areas that may be regulating reproductive behavior, like the hypothalamus, trying to understand what at the molecular level is happening in the brains of these dads. By understanding what may be upregulated or downregulated in terms of expression of key transcriptive factors, or anything that may be increased or altered in the dad's brain, if that can be transgenerationally inherited. So what is it that is so good about being a dad, and is being a dad enough to pass on that quote-unquote good stuff to your offspring? We know that stressors can be transgenerationally transmitted, you know, through the germline, but can the positive effects of the rewarding aspects of being a dad be passed on in any way to offspring? We're trying to understand at molecular level what might be happening there. But also, because I study dads, and I study a biparental species, and I do manipulations of, you know, these animals are going to rear their young and these aren't, I have a whole other line of research where I'm trying to understand the consequences of having dad taken away, if dad is so critical or important for your survival in a species like the California mice, where dad, you know, gives 50% of the care. And so we're spending a lot of time trying to look at how offspring brains are shaped by the lack of paternal care. And as you might expect, there are some negative consequences to that that can really speak to a number of different species, including ours. And so I'm really trying to understand how dad is protecting the offspring brain and if it's happening in a sex-dependent way. And our research would suggest that indeed it is.
Oh, interesting. So not only how does parenting affect the dad's brains, but how does the presence or absence of a father affect the offspring? And I think that those are really important questions.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. And as, you know, a mom of two, I look at, you know, my girls, you know, interacting with their dad, and I, you know, I just think back to, you know, what's going on in the lab, and I'm like, this is so good for them. You know, they're engaging in this, you know, interaction with their dad. They're forming these bonds that, you know, not only immediately benefit them, but are going to have some enduring consequences later in their life So it's close to home.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always lovely to see dads engage with their offspring and their kids and take an active role. And plus, it's really helpful for moms to have that support.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess on a broader, maybe more general scale, what questions would you like to see answered when talking about the paternal brain in general?
I would love for us to have a larger picture of what's happening. I mean, you brought up a very good point before, you know, in preparation for offspring or in preparation for the child's birth, you know, what's happening to the dad's brain. While there are few, you know, available mammalian models of this, there are a number of other species that engage in paternal care. And so, you know, one of my jobs will be to highlight those and, you know, maybe learn a bit more or share, you know, what we do know about the paternal brain so that we can make recommendations or suggestions to the lay public on how, you know, engaging in this type of, you know, interaction with offspring can benefit dad, it can benefit mom, it can benefit the offspring in so many different ways. And so just increasing our knowledge and kind of filling the gaps in terms of fatherhood-related plasticity, I think will just be a benefit for all.
Definitely. I think the more we can understand about about parenting in general, but about the role of dads or other parents besides just mom, I think that makes it much more beneficial for moms. And I also love that you're looking at how fathers can impact offspring because I think so often we're talking about moms, like mom's stress or mom's this and how that affects the offspring, usually in a negative way. And I would love to see more positive information come out on the effects of mothering by fathers and by mothers, but also maybe even exploring the negative impact of poor paternal care and poor fatherhood, because, you know, moms aren't the only ones to blame. I think we could learn more and be more positive perhaps about the role of parents on offspring development in general.
Yes, and not just like the lack, you know, either they're present or they're not. But if we're learning about how the brain of the children and these offspring are shaped in response to neglect or absence, it doesn't have to be chronic. It could be intermittent. But once we are, you know, we're educating ourselves, then we know what recommendations to make to the mom or to the dad to, you know, improve parenting so that it can benefit them as well as their children.
I agree with you 100% that often we need to provide support for parents to parent. I mean, parenting is not easy. It's not instinctual. It's really a learning experience. And there are more and more support systems available or techniques available, but it's not as easily accessible for everybody in, you know, different communities. And I really think improving parenting and helping and supporting parents be parents could really benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
So I guess I'm going to leave it there because I think that's our take-home message.
Wonderful.
Unless you have anything else to add.
No, I just thank you for inviting me to share this really important work on understanding fatherhood-induced plasticity. And it's kind of heartwarming to do that in anticipation of Father's Day. And so I just wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day, and I hope that they are enjoying all of these rewarding experiences that they're having with their kids.
Thank you so much for sharing your work with us and your thoughts about the paternal brain or fatherhood in the brain. And I look forward to increasing our knowledge about the neuroscience of fatherhood in addition to the neuroscience of motherhood. So thank you, Erica, for joining me today.
You're so welcome, Jody. Thanks for having me.
Questions, comments, suggestions, get in touch at Mommy Brain Revisited on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. You can also contact me on my website at jodipaluski.com. That's JODIPAWLUSKI.com. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Stripe.